Well, good evening and welcome to another episode of the John Whitmer Show. Thrilled to have you with us this evening here at your local liberal resistance headquarters, where we thoroughly enjoy the opportunities to make liberal heads explode. I take great pride in the wailing and gnashing of teeth that go on the other side of the aisle, merely by championing the principles of limited government, individual liberty, free enterprise, and traditional values, and listening to the wailing and gnashing of teeth. Thrilled to have you with us tonight. If you'd like to call in, our studio lines are open. You can reach me at 316-869-1330 by email at john@knssradio.com, on Facebook and True Social at The John Whitmer Show, and on X at John R. Whitmer. Reach out. We'd love to hear from you. Had a great weekend. Yesterday was up in Topeka for the annual meeting of the Kansas State Rifle Association. Huge crowd. My buddy Dan Mears, Casey Wolf. And if anybody could turn me into a Chiefs fan, it'd be my buddy Dan Mears. Like I said, if anybody, it'd be Dan. It was a great speech he gave. Just a great time. Congressman Derek Schmidt was there. A number of the gubernatorial candidates. I was able to host a conversation with a number of the gubernatorial candidates. Joy Akins and Dr. Collier were there. Ty Masterson. We had a legislative forum with Ty and Dan and a number of my legislative colleagues, Speaker Pro Tem Blake Carpenter. So it was great legislative forums. We had a bunch of my buddy Travis Couture Lovelady from the NRA. So thank you from KSRA for hosting us up there. Great event. So next year we'll be back. I'm going to hopefully work with them again. I'm planning that event. I think it's going to be in Kansas City next year. So, but when we have more information, we'll share it with you. A couple of events coming up. Guy Benson coming to Wichita August 5th. We'll talk with Tanner Temple from AFP here in a few minutes about that, but he's coming to Wichita on August 5th. Don't forget this Thursday, the 17th, the monthly meeting of the Sedgwick County Republican Party. Got a great event coming up. And then on the 19th, on Saturday, it's Ron Estes's birthday bluegrass and barbecue bash. Our congressman, 4th District Congressman, always has a great party. We'll have information on that on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page, but mark your calendars for the 19th for the birthday bluegrass and barbecue BBQ bash with our 4th District Congressman. Got a great show planned. It's planned. It's not planned. It's planned for you tonight. Attorney General Chris Kobach will be with us to explain why his office is calling on the federal government to investigate Kansas schools, three or four Kansas schools, for illegal social transition policies. They also racked up a huge win defending a new Kansas law banning foreign money in campaigns. Again, Tanner Temple from AFP will tell us about their Saturday is another national day of action and how you can help. And of course, Guy Benson coming to town. Dave Traubert from the Kansas Policy Institute will share with us a staggering new report that exposes how the Kansas Department of Education is basically lowering standards in order to crank up the proficiency numbers. Basically, they want to make their numbers look better, so they're just dumbing down the tests. And Dave Traubert will be with us next hour. And, of course, we'll continue our candidate profiles with Diane Albert from the Wichita School Board. She'll be with us to talk about why she's running for reelection. God knows why. I'm glutton for punishment. But we'll talk with Diane about her. We need her on there because, we certainly don't want it to fall to a Democrat, but Diane will be with us. And of course, we'll be taking your calls at 316-869-1330. So we got a great show planned. Want to take as many calls as we can too. So feel free to call in 869-1330. Before we get to all that though, the mainstream media didn't cover it too much. Fox News did, but last Friday was the one-year anniversary of the assassination attempt on President Trump in Butler, Pennsylvania. And I wanted to kind of look. I did a little analysis to see, what the status of what the statistics say about political violence in America since then and kind of contextually where we're at. And if you think about it, it's no longer a footnote in history books. It's not something that happens you know, over there or in, you know, the Middle East. Obviously it does, but it's not only there. It's not only something that happens in unstable regimes or failed states. It's happening here right now in 2025 America. And the question we have to ask is how? I mean, how did this happen? It's not theoretical. It's, you know, not about mean tweets. There have been multiple assassination attempts against the president. You'd think the left would condemn it across the board, but they don't. In fact, we remember the shocking report that showed that 38% of Americans and 55% of those on the left say that assassinating Donald Trump would be justified, at least somewhat. Let me say that again. More than half of the self-identified progressives in that poll said that murdering a former president and now the current president is somewhat justified. That's not fringe. That's not, you know, the lone lunatic in a basement. That's mainstream thinking amongst half of the modern left. And I mean, that's just crazy. This new report, the one based on a rigorous survey and data from online activity, exposes what they're calling assassination culture. It's not a metaphor. It's not hyperbole. It's culture, an ideology, one that has moved from obscure internet message boards to mainstream digital platforms like Reddit and Blueski. Left-leaning platforms, of course, but still mainstream. And this so-called assassination culture doesn't just condone violence, it glorifies it. It celebrates it. It includes folks like the nut job who carried the bloody severed Trump head down Douglas a few weeks ago, and it's growing. And let me read you a key line from that report. It says, quote, nearly one-third of Americans surveyed and around half of those identifying as left of center believe that the murder of certain public figures is at least somewhat justified, unquote. That's not a fringe movement anymore. That's not Antifa in Portland or some masked anarchist tossing bricks through Starbucks windows. This is mainstream. This is your neighbor who votes Democrat. This is the wackadoodles down there at Douglas and Broadway. This is your kid's college professor. This is that person on Twitter who says they're anti-fascist, who's praising violence against anyone who disagrees with them. This is the American left. And I'm not talking about liberals of old. I'm not talking about the hippies. I'm not talking about Ben and Jerry's. I'm talking about the radicalized, weaponized progressives of 2025. They've crossed a line. They no longer just want to silence us. They want to destroy us. They've convinced themselves that violence is not just acceptable. It's necessary. Necessary to stop, quote, fascism. Necessary to stop, quote, Nazis. Necessary to stop, quote, hate. But of course, they define what those words mean. To them, it's Donald Trump. It's you. It's me. It's Republicans. It's MAGA. That's it. If you're MAGA, you've got the red hat, well, then you're in this group. A Christian conservative who supports the Constitution, up, you're a white supremacist in their book. This isn't just moral confusion. You know, if you're AFP, if you're Coke, you're MAGA, you're a white supremacist, you're a fascist, and therefore you're on the list. It's moral inversion. The values we hold dear, faith, family, freedom, they're being labeled dangerous, and those who uphold them are being treated like enemies of the state. And let me be clear, political violence has no place in a civil society, period. Bold stop right there. And extremists exist on both sides. I mean, we're not hiding that. But let's not kid ourselves. It doesn't match what's happening on the left in scope, scale, or public support. I mean, the right has its crazies. But nobody makes excuses for right-wing crazies. The report shows that while far-right extremism remains largely fringe, left-wing violence is being mainstreamed, rationalized, even celebrated in digital and academic spaces. It's also being excused. It's being justified. We're not just dealing with radicals. We're dealing with a movement that believes violence is legitimate And it's a legitimate form of protest if they feel the cause is righteous enough. See, that's the difference. They're justifying it. They're giving cover to it. They're explaining it away. Well, I've got news for them. America doesn't work that way. We don't settle our differences with bullets. We settle them with a ballot box. We don't torch cars when we don't like election results. We don't torch dealerships because we disagree with the guy who owns them. We work harder to win the next one. We don't assassinate people because we disagree. We engage, we debate, we persuade. We go out and knock doors. That's the American way. And if we don't call this out now loudly with bold apology, we're going to lose this country. We need leaders on the left and the right with the courage to condemn violence in all forms, no matter who the target is. But more importantly, we need everyday Americans, you, to make your voices heard, to draw a line in the sand, to say we will not tolerate this, to reject the ideology of hate and destruction disguised as justice. Civil disagreement must replace this type of hostility. And political leaders must denounce violence without qualification as incompatible with a constitutional republic. So the so-called resistance out there who think violence is your ticket to utopia, you're not Islamists. You're not the future. You're the threat. And those of us who still believe in the Constitution, in law and order, in the right to disagree without being disagreeable, now is the time to speak up. Now is the time to make your voice heard. Now is the time to fight back peacefully, lawfully, and boldly. Because if we stay silent while political assassination becomes acceptable discourse, we won't just lose elections, we'll lose America. I know I won't let that happen, and I know you won't either. We'll take a quick Blake, I'm telling you, somebody put something in the coffee. We'll take a quick break. And then Tanner Temple from Americans for Prosperity will tell us about this Saturday's National Day of Action, how you can help, and how Guy Benson is coming to Wichita. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. I want to remind you about our friends at Americans for Prosperity. Don't forget, AFP's Day of Action is the third Saturday of the month. That happens to be this Saturday coming up. This is a great way to get engaged, to make a difference. You have the power to change the trajectory of Wichita, of Sedgwick County. It's a great way to make your voice heard today. If you want more information, you can visit AmericansForProsperity.org or just listen to my next guest. But, you know, it's a great way anyway. And, of course, while you're online, you can follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. So, like I said, this Saturday is the monthly AFP's National Day of Action. It's the third Saturday of every month. It happens to be this Saturday. With us now to tell us a little bit about it and how you can get involved is Tanner Temple from Americans for Prosperity. Tanner, thank you for joining us. Pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
Thank you, John. Great to be here.
So before I get to that, I saw you guys had a table up in Topeka yesterday at the KSRA event. And I saw a lot of people over there talking to you about the constitutional amendment that's on August ballot. And one of the things that I happened to overhear part of the conversation, and there was a guy there who was asking you about, you know, well, and it seemed like he was hesitant, which shocked me because those guys are pro-life, pro-gun conservatives. And yet he was kind of pushing back and talking, using the left-wing talking point that, oh, it's going to put, you know, money and politics into our judicial selection. How is it that the left is already getting that message out there? Because that's so not the case. And I'm curious how we're going to help to educate voters that that's such a left-wing talking point from the trial lawyers and whatnot. How are we going to counter that? How are we going to push back on that?
Exactly, John. I mean, as we look at it, the current nominating commission operates behind closed doors.
Yes.
It's dominated by an unelected legal elite. So, I mean, you can't really take the politics out of policy. So, I mean, if you look at the board and the commission they currently have, they're already politics involved in this. And even on the federal model, as you look at things, look at the, what the governor does, if you're running a gubernatorial race, there's going to be money in these races no matter what we do. But we're trying to pull back that curtain so people understand what's going on.
Well, and look at, I mean, look at this commission. You've got five lawyers, five of them picked by lawyers, all lawyers. So the Bar Association is basically picking the majority. The other four, Laura Kelly's picked them all. And so, I mean, you can't tell me that politics hasn't had a huge factor in this whole nominating commission. And then if you look at the Supreme Court itself, this is the most overturned court in the nation. They've had, I mean, they got the Carr Brothers case wrong. I mean, this is so, you can't tell me that we're getting quality justices through this quote merit-based system, because they're clearly not.
Exactly. Again, you know, Kansas judicial system has been repeatedly overturned by the U.S. Supreme Court. So since 2007, 8 out of 9 cases. So, I mean, it's it's one of the most overturned cases of the United States, or overturned courts. So,
right. This nominating commission would put Ketanji Brown Jackson up. I mean, that's how bad this group is. You know what I mean? This is the kind of group that would put someone up there who couldn't define a judge. They would probably think Ketanji Brown is a qualified justice. So I was just kind of surprised that one of the folks there would think that money, because money's in everything, and I don't think money's going to make a hill of beans difference. And right now, if it's good enough for your congressmen, your governors, your senators, your state reps, and right now it's good enough for every other judge in the state except the Supreme Court justices, why not let people have the right to say? Why not let people vote? It's called democracy.
And again, when we go out there, some of the things we look at with even people within our own party is there's a huge education thing we need to do out there. But the more you talk with folks, and even the individual I talk with at the Kansas State Rifle Association is, well, we don't have any voice initially to start here. I mean, it is a commission of lawyers electing other lawyers. So do you want to say on the initial ballot who we're putting in there? What do they stand for? And should we keep them in there or not? So,
well, we've got, over a year to help educate folks, to help basically push back on the narrative. And that's, I think, if I understand it, that's the whole focus of what part of the thing that you guys are doing with these National Days of Action, correct?
Yes, sir. Yep. We'll be out here. So again, this is the following weekend coming up here in August. And originally we were working on the big, beautiful bill. So we were always out here doing things, but now with the judicial constitutional amendment coming up next year, that's what we're shifting the focus to. And on our National Day of Action in Kansas, that's what we're going to be doing and knocking doors on.
And if folks, I know the other, by the way, we're talking with Tanner Temple from Americans for Prosperity. The other thing that you guys have coming up, and it's something that I'm really excited about, and that's coming up on here in Wichita on August 5th, is Guy Benson, correct? He's coming to Wichita. You've got a cool event. I shared a little bit of information and a link to it on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page, but Guy Benson's coming to town.
He is. Yep. So if you don't know, again, he's a Fox News contributor and, a huge proponent with AFP. But we will be at the Wichita Stockyards Event Center at 6:00 on August 5th. So it is a free event, but we do ask that we have reservations. But you can check that out on our website at TakeBackTheBench.com or our AFP social pages.
Well, and that's the other thing that I saw on there is the dinner's included. So it's just a great opportunity to come. Hear from him, hear from somebody that people may recognize, and get a little educated, find out about what's going on and have a nice little dinner. And so I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be a blast. One of the other things that I always like to, when I have you guys on, I like reminding folks that if they've got kids that are looking for, or, want a little extra grandkids money and want to make a little side cha-ching, you're still hiring for door knockers as well, correct?
We always are. Yes, sir, John. If you go to our social media pages or our AFP Kansas website, we do have part-time opportunities for younger folks to go out there and knock doors and be active within the community. So it's a great way for them to network and get involved with the issues.
Not just younger. My wife and I door knock for you guys. So trust me, you know, as long as you want to get out there and walk, it might be a little hot, but get out earlier in the morning. Trust me, you can knock. And if they want information on the judicial selection process, that constitutional amendment, ballot vote, how important it is, they can get that at votersnotlawyers.com, correct?
Yes, sir. Or takebackthebench.com. So they should redirect you. Yes, sir. So either one of those will take you to our main page and show you how to get involved. But yeah, we would love to have people come out to our Guy Benson event in Wichita. And again, that's August 5th at 6 o'clock at the Wichita Stockyards.
Tanner, I appreciate you. Thank you very much, my friend. We'll be in touch. I'm sure we'll have you. Back on the show as soon as we can, and we'll keep plugging it and keep up the good work. Carry on the fight, my friend.
Yes, sir. Always great to be on.
Appreciate you, brother. Coming up, Diane Albert will be with us to update us on her campaign for re-election to the USD 259 Wichita School Board. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. You can always listen to us by telling your smart speaker to play KNSS radio. And of course, from breaking news to severe weather updates, just download the Always Live free Odyssey app to get started. And while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the live updates, latest updates on the show. Excuse me, pardon me. Every election cycle, we try to bring you as many candidates running for office as we can. Obviously, we'll have one tonight. Next week, I think we're going to have at least one or two candidates. We endeavor to invite every candidate on the ballot as possible to on the show each week. We'll bring you as many as we can. If there's someone in particular you'd like to have on the show, let me know. We will invite them. No guarantee they'll say yes, but we will at least invite them. All that being said, joining us now is Diane Albert. She's a member of the Wichita Public Schools Board of Education, representing District 1. She assumed office in January of 2022. She's a small business owner, Republican precinct woman, and current chair of the Board of Education. Diane, thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you back on the show again.
Yeah, thanks for the invite, John. Always welcome. Always glad to be welcomed on.
Well, yeah, and it's nice to have you on. You've always been willing. Whenever I've asked, you've come on, and I appreciate that. We've had a couple of contentious conversations over the years because, you know, as you know, you and I disagreed on things like the bond, but even when we did, you came on, and I respect you for that. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you. And I tend to go where I'm invited, and so it doesn't matter whether you agree with me or disagree with me. I will go and have a conversation and be honest.
Yeah, and you have been. I appreciate that. Well, and you brought Kelly Bielfeld in, and that was...
I did.
I appreciated that when you were able to arrange to have the superintendent come in, and that was a great conversation that I had with him, and I thank you for arranging that for us. So
yeah, you're welcome. Kelly has the same philosophy I do. We're always welcome to talk about the challenges and the opportunities that are present in the Wichita Public Schools, and we'll go and talk to anybody and everybody.
So it's been a brutal first term. I got to ask, are you just a glutton for punishment? I mean, what prompted you to want to run for, I would think after the bruising that you took over the last, you might reconsider, but why are you running for reelection?
Yeah, so I have a number of political scars and personal scars from this experience.
I'm sure, yes.
It has been a challenging 4 years, but I am on a relentless pursuit to increase student achievement and academic outcomes in the Wichita Public Schools. I'm a product of Wichita Public Schools. I'm a graduate of Southeast High School. I went to Lovature, went to Coleman. I had a great experience through the Wichita Public Schools. We've changed and evolved since that time, and I want to make sure that students have the good foundation of reading, writing, and math to be able to go on and have their potential unlocked so they can go and do whatever they need to in life, whether that be go right into the trades, which I'm a fond fan
yep,
of.
Me too.
I'm in the construction field, or go on to college and pursue whatever degrees they want to in higher education. But I think the the public schools can be a great opportunity for students to receive a good education.
Our family has a Coleman connection too. Our daughter went to Coleman.
Oh, good.
And then went on to Heights. So yeah. So we have a daughter who went through Wichita Public Schools. So we can relate. Let's start with, I know you voted in favor of the school bond issue last year. We can relitigate that if you'd like to, but I think I'll go to this. Would you support another bond if it came up? I mean, it looks like, and I'm glad that they're not going to pursue another bond anytime soon, but would you support one if it came up?
Well, what I'm going to do is support the Financial Oversight Committee, exploring options and exhausting all opportunities to look through the financials and see what are there creative opportunities for the district to explore. A lot of times people don't quite understand this, but there are laws regulating schools.
I'm going to interrupt and say, so what if they said they wanted another bond? Would you support another bond?
So let me tell you what I'm doing in the meantime is I'm meeting with a lot of smart people to go through and see what we can do.
I'm going to interrupt again.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Would you support another bond?
If the Financial Oversight Committee has exhausted all options and they say this is our recommendation, then yes, I am going to support another bond issue.
Even though the last one failed and, I mean, the voters voted. It failed by a narrow margin, but the voters did say we don't support it. We didn't want it. You would support another bond.
Here's the complicated thing is the way the financials are set up in the state of Kansas for school finance to have large facility upgrades. It is through a bond issue.
Right. Okay.
Even if we had a billionaire come through and say, hey, we want to fund your school system. Here's a big fat check that we want to write to you guys. It would have to be some kind of bond structure that could hold that. And so I don't necessarily like the rules that we're constrained to abide by, but I'm also a law-abiding citizen.
Well, a billionaire could come in and just build you a school.
And so I feel strongly that the Wichita Public Schools should abide by the law.
Okay.
And so those are the rules that are set up before us. Whether I like them or not is not what the question is, but we have to follow the rules that are set before us.
Okay. Interesting. I didn't expect that answer. So that's interesting.
It's a very hard world to live in.
It is. That's interesting. I didn't expect that answer. You know, I probably didn't like that answer, but that's fair.
But I'm going to be honest, no matter where I'm at.
Always have been, and I appreciate that. Right now in Wichita Public Schools, just 19% of students are proficient in reading. 19%. 16% are proficient in math. That means that more than 8 out of 10 students are not at grade level in basic subjects. How would you propose the district fix that?
Yeah, so this is why I'm on the school board, is to focus on student outcomes. And so I think one of the things that we have to think about is what has the district done in the past and what is the district currently doing? And so if people are familiar with the state initiative called Blueprint for Literacy, mm-hmm. They have recommended that there is a seal of literacy on every teacher's license. And that is through letters training, that is through other various training options. And that those are structures for on how to teachers teach students how to read. Before the Blueprint for Literacy started, Wichita Public Schools was a leader in this, right? When I got on the board, the school year of 22-23, we started training teachers on letters training. So for people that aren't in the education world, that is a phonics-based literacy. So we're going back to phonics, teaching students the way most of us were taught how to read. And the great thing about that is, for the dyslexic learners, this is a route to teach dyslexic learners, not differently, but because we know dyslexics learn differently, but dyslexic learners need phonics-based instruction. They need direct instruction on how to learn how to read. They can't just learn just by setting a book in front of them. So this is explicit instruction. And so because that has happened in the 22-23 school year was really when that started. So that's about 3 school years ago. We are starting to see growth and trends in the kindergarten, first, second, and third grade reading. We are not seeing that at the state level assessment yet.
Let me ask you about that. And by the way, we're talking with Diane Albert, who's running for re-election to the school board. According to the Kansas Department of Education 2025 state assessment results, according to the Department of Education, the assessment results used new test and cut scores to determine achievement levels. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Yes.
But they used new achievement levels. The percentage of eighth grade reading, for example, proficiency more than doubled, jumping from 22% last year to 46% this year. This has actually caused a lot of people to question whether the department is dumbing down the standards in order to achieve better results, because they literally had literally 100% increase, going from 22 to 46 in 1 year. I'm sorry, you don't improve by that kind of metric unless you're rigging the system or fudging the numbers.
Yeah, so what I've learned in education, so in construction, not that much changes, right?
Right.
A ruler is a ruler is a ruler.
Exactly.
You can go back 30 years, that tape measure is the same as the one that you get at Home Depot today. In education, that's not the same, right? So about every 7 years, they redo the cut scores. And this year was one of those years where they've redone the cut scores.
So do you think they dumbed down the scores, or do you think kids actually just got that much smarter in 1 year?
I have not spent that much time looking into the state assessment scores right now for this year, because they are new. What I will tell you is the state assessment scores that's not great data for us to use to see what's working and what's not working within the district. I prefer our internal scores, we use a system called FastBridge, and that way we can see students' growth or change from fall, winter, and spring. State assessments are one time a year. You usually get them, after that. It's summertime, right? These students that were in eighth grade are now freshmen in high school. It's not awesome data for us to use to make decisions within the district. So I prefer the FastBridge scores. Because we can see changes. We can see from fall to spring what changes are happening, and do we need to change instruction methods or not.
That's fair. That's
and fair. What I was saying before is we are seeing growth in especially the younger years. So you look at the kindergarten cohorts, so kindergarten and fall into first grade and second grade, we are seeing significant growth there. But like I said, to be fair, we are not seeing it yet in the state assessment.
Oh, that's good. Do you mind if we take a quick break? I know we're on my quarter break, and we'll come back.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll take a quick break. We're talking with Diane Alberts, who's running for re-election to the school board. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Don't forget our friends at Americans for Prosperity. They've got their day of action coming up this Saturday. If you want to get involved, don't forget, it's a great way to get involved. And again, from our conversation with Tanner from last segment, if you want more information, you can always find that out at votersnotlawyers.com or americansforprosperity.org. It's a great way to make your voice heard today. With us still to talk about her campaign for reelection to the Wichita Public School Board is Diane Alberts. So Diane, you're right. During the break, you asked, and I am going to ask, is one of the questions I typically ask is, Kansas has seen significant rise in K through 12 spending with a 53% increase over the last 10 years. However, math and reading scores or standardized tests, including state assessments and NAEP scores, have either stagnated or actually declined in many cases over that same period of time. So do you think Wichita Public Schools are adequately funded?
Yeah, that's a loaded question. Because,
not really.
Well,
have you got enough money?
And our budget is massive.
And I ask that keeping in mind that I've had a superintendent tell me it'll never be enough. Hence, which is why whenever I do school funding conversations, I use the never enough theme song. So.
Yeah, school finance is an exceptionally complicated ordeal. And so a lot of people just look at our big budget number and then think that that's sitting in one bucket. And that
I know the buckets. I'm familiar
with
the silos.
We get to pull from that
wood bucket. Is it enough money? It's just a simple question. Do you have enough?
Well, I mean, we've got some facility needs, and we've got some old buildings. Like you take North High and East High, for example, and they're taking millions and millions and millions of dollars a year.
But the bond,
just to keep the walls up.
But the bond also included new stadiums. It included multiple press boxes. It included some new turf at multiple. There was a lot of stuff.
Putting athletic fields.
Right. And that was not essential for educational purposes. That wasn't money into the classroom. So if you'd done that, if you'd taken that out, because that's not educating, that's not teaching reading, writing, and math. Take that money out, put that into North High's infrastructure needs, maybe then you don't need. See my point here?
I don't disagree with that. One of the things that we hear a lot is building back trust with the public. And, you know, none of us that are in leadership right now are around for the 2000 or 2008 bond issue. And so talking about the athletic fields out at Northeast Magnet, that was one of the things that was promised during the 2008 bond issue. And our superintendent feels very strongly that if promises were made, then promises need to be kept. And so that was an appeal to try to right a wrong. Whether we agree with it or not, he's trying to honestly approach things from, I understand promises were made, let's try to do right to the public.
So do you think they're adequately funded, or do you think they need more?
Our school district has a lot of money. There is no doubt about it. But keep in mind that imagine 24 buckets, and most of them are restricted on what funds can be used for what. And so I would say reduce and limit the restrictions and allow locals
make
decisions.
I would love that. I've often felt that they should get rid of the siloing idea and just give you a block grant of money and let the local. I supported that. Actually, Governor Brownback thought of that idea. I think they should always do the block granting. You get X money and let the local districts determine how they spend it. Speaking of money, current board members do not receive any pay. Some districts are considering paying board members. That would be paid through the general fund. So in other words, taxpayer dollars that would or could be going into the classroom would be diverted to pay salaries for board members. Do you support paying board members? And if it passed, would you vote for it? And would you accept the pay if it was proposed?
You like asking loaded questions to me to where it's
same question I've asked, and I will ask every candidate.
It's very self-serving to answer that. So it's difficult, but let me explain to you some of the things that are different from when I got on the board.
These are yes, no questions.
Well, I think to the intellectual people that want to understand the nuances, there needs to be better explanation, because when I first got on the board, there was two meetings a month, and that was what the expectation was. And now, since I've been in leadership, I was vice president for 2 years, and now I'm the current chair, there are greater expectations on the board members. So, for example,
I only have 5 more minutes, so I'm going to cut this off. Yes or no, would you support paying school board members?
I would, because there's greater expectation. Okay. The citizens of Wichita want greater oversight from the board members.
And I will tell you that you'd be taking money out of a classroom to pay a board member. I would depose it. I understand the superintendent, Kelly Bielfeld, is up for a pay raise. He has already received a 3% pay raise as part of the standard pay increase given to all teachers. Considering the college and career readiness scores of recent graduates and how bad they are, do you believe that Bielfeld deserves an additional pay raise?
Well, I believe the free market also speaks to where pay levels are. And I'll say he's not the highest paid superintendent.
That's not what I asked. Do you believe he should get another pay raise?
I support a free market approach to paying people.
So yes or no, do you think he supports another pay raise?
Yes. Because he like I said, he is not the highest paid superintendent in the area, but he is the most criticized, he is the most watched over, and he has the highest expectations with the hardest district.
Two quick questions, or three. Do you support school choice, yes or no?
I do.
Okay. The Supreme Court recently sided with parents who want to opt their children out of LGBTQ books in schools. Do you agree with that decision?
I do agree with that decision.
Boys and girls sports?
Absolutely not.
I love that. Now you're working. Now we're cooking with butter here, baby.
Well, I thought we wanted to have a conversation.
If folks want to help you, if they want to support you, what's the best way for them to do it? Diane Albert, BOE on Facebook?
Yes.
Best
you can
of
reach
luck.
Me on my Facebook account or Diane Albert, BOE at gmail.com.
Attorney General Kobach coming up. We'll be back right after this.